It's time again for the Always Struggle. My name is Joshua Ferguson, and I'm your host. And today we're going to talk about how AB5 could ruin date night. What is AB5? It's a labor law in California that changes the way people are classified as employees or independent contractors. Whereas previously we had what was called the Borrello test, which was a multi-pronged test to figure out who was and wasn't an independent contractor. Now we have an ABC test, which was originally created by the court, because we all know the courts do most of the legislating for the legislator nowadays, and it was codified in the form of AB5. It was written by unions, introduced by a union puppet, Lorena Gonzalez, and then signed into law by Governor of the Resistance, Gavin Newsom. It has some frightening and hilarious consequences and side effects that people didn't plan for and are sort of being blindsided by. If you want to watch my previous video, I'll put the link in the comments, or you can just click on the channel itself, and you'll see why I think it's a great law insofar as it's an amazing red pill for people who never sort of realized the government could screw them in stupid ways. And, well, AB5 is a great example. But how can it ruin date night? First of all, if you were an independent contractor, you may not have a job anymore, which means you may not be able to afford date night. That's the obvious one. The second is it may actually change your ability to go out with your significant other or out with your friends, as it were, because you no longer have the ability for flexibility as an employee that you might have had as an independent contractor. That's one of those pesky things about an employer-employee relationship, is that you don't have as much freedom in what you do and don't do in a lot of ways. It all depends on what your personal contract is with your employer, but a lot of places, well, they'll probably just AB5 you out of a job because they don't want to have that relationship, or they wouldn't have had independent contractors to begin with. Why do people want independent contractors? It's not just because they're trying to be cheap and not give people health insurance. It's because there's a lot of other issues that exist, such as unemployment insurance, workers' compensation, Social Security withholdings, and a lot of other liabilities. There are some government issues that have thresholds for how many employees you have in a calendar year and a lot of other nuancy things. But again, how does it affect date night? Well, if you yourself were an independent contractor, again, you may have been AB5'd out of a job. You may have been a freelance writer who wrote more than 35 articles a year, or a photographer who did more than a certain number of assignments. You may have been an Uber or Lyft driver who now is going to be sort of codified away if the law doesn't change the way Uber's hoping it will. But even if you weren't individually impacted by AB5 in your employment relationship, you're still impacted as a customer. And there's a couple interesting reasons why. First of all, Uber is now changing their platform to where drivers may be able to discriminate against you. And not in the, I don't want to pick that person up because they have the wrong skin color necessarily, but I don't want to pick that person up because it's kind of a pain to get there, or because I just don't like that neighborhood. Okay, I'll explain. It used to be where Uber and Lyft, where you would go on as a driver and you would see a fare and it would, you'd click OK and it would tell you where to pick the person up. Well, now they're going to allow you to see where the person is being dropped off as well. So if you see a fare and you just don't want to go there, well, congratulations, you can choose not to. I drove one night back when I was doing Uber several years ago, might have been Lyft, doesn't really matter. And I ended up in one night on the far end of Pasadena and out in, I believe, Chino. Now, that's a pretty long drive throughout that. That last drive cost me money because I didn't have rides back. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning when I took the person back. Had I seen where they were going beforehand, I would have denied that ride. And most people where I picked that person up likely would have. So that person could have been stranded. So if you live somewhere and it's hard to get out, or it's hard to get back to where you're going because you live out in the boonies, you live up a hill that's really hard to get up to, you live just in a secluded area or in a bad area or in just a somewhere people don't really like to drive area, drivers may not pick you up, or worse, they may not want to drop you off, especially if you're at a party or you're out at a venue really late at night. So that destination discrimination could hurt some people. And if you live in one of those areas, it absolutely could impact your ability to go out or get home. That adds considerations to your planning, because a lot of people use Uber and Lyft as a way to safely allow them to drink or just imbibe generally when they go out. Because remember, as the signs say, buzz driving is drunk driving. So now you may be the designated driver whether you want it to be or not, just because you know you can't get home at the end of the night. That's the first consideration. The second consideration depends on where you're going, because if you go somewhere that has entertainment as part of their business model, as part of their regular business, such as a restaurant or a club that has a DJ or a live band or a comedy club or a concert hall, those places, because it's part of their regular business, may have to put all of the entertainers that they have on the payroll. Now that becomes a problem, especially for venues that hire people from out of state, because that causes tax implications for people having to file things in multiple jurisdictions or having to file things for people in multiple jurisdictions. Not to mention, some people, again, just don't want to have to deal with the contracts and hassle. It's easier to have you just pay me to come do a show or come shoot a show than to have to put me on the payroll. It opens up a can of worms with hiring practices as well, simply because if you have a drug use policy or you have a background check policy, you have to do that across the board. Otherwise, some employees, your new artists, could claim you're discriminating against them in hiring practices. It also brings up some interesting questions regarding how you fire them, how you terminate them, how that all plays out. None of that's codified into law. Well, because of course it isn't. There's a lot of issues specific to musicians, which I'll get into in a later video because it is really convoluted, but a lot of people will be hesitant to become employees of venues. Therefore, it may limit your options for what you see, who you see, what DJs play, where they play. Some venues may choose not to deal with this anymore. They just may have Muzak on in the background now instead of having a piano player or instead of having people come in regularly. They may choose to have a house band as opposed to having a rotation of music and having a more livelier venue. So that venue you go to right now that may have rockabilly and, you know, bluegrass and rock and roll and whatever, they might choose to just go one lane with it because it's easier to hire one or two bands regularly than to pay every band that rolls through as employees and all of those things that come with it. Again, same thing with concert halls and comedy clubs. Now you may have an issue where people do not want to have to hire and keep people on as employees to come and do a show or two when they can just hire regulars to do shows consistently. We don't even know how this is all going to play out because it's so new and so poorly written. None of it's been tested in the courts yet. It also brings up an interesting question, because what if you go somewhere that doesn't hire bands? You may not even be able to go somewhere that doesn't have paid gigs because you as a business cannot have volunteers as a for-profit business, which means you may not be able to have open mic nights anymore. Those people offering a service as part of your regular business may, in fact, have to be employees, which means they are subject to minimum wage laws. So a lot of places that can't afford that, struggling coffee houses, mom and pop businesses that don't have a lot of leeway, people who are working 50, 60 hours just to keep their business afloat, can't afford to pay entertainers to come in. And a lot of entertainers do those gigs in order to build up an audience, build up a fan base, get notoriety, get noticed. And that may be cut off. I know several coffee houses over the years that have hosted open mic nights for comedians. That is part of their business. It brings in a lot of people. Well, if that's part of their business and they can't convince the court that it is not a part of their business operations, they may have to pay those comedians as employees. In fact, there is in the Dynamex decision, there was a case out of New Hampshire that was cited regarding, I believe, an Indian reservation where a regular who played music at the reservation over the course of several years or many years, and I think 300 or so times over the course of 2 years, was adjudicated to have been an employee, even though they didn't tell him what to play necessarily. They didn't provide his instruments. The fact that he was there all the time, constantly working with them, made him an employee. So if you have somebody who hosts your open mic night once or twice a week, they may be in fact your employee now, and you may not be able to afford to pay them all of the things you're required to pay them. Again, Social Security tax and withholdings and whatnot. And the venue may be forced to just put that option off the table. It also becomes interesting because even going to the movies could become different simply by virtue of the idea that you have to employ anybody who does something that's within the scope of your regular business. Think special effects houses or 3D conversion houses. Go watch a movie. If you watch a Marvel movie, you're probably staying at the end of the credits anyways.
Gross.
Look at all the special effects houses that work for those people. Those are independent companies that are brought on specifically to do one or two things in the scope of the visual effects or the computer-generated graphics during the production. Now, all of those people have to be employees of the company making the movie. which could lead to interesting consequences. It could mean movies just leave California, like they already do. They already film a lot of TV and whatnot in British Columbia. You have seen all those movies that say made in Georgia. You have all of those issues. So obviously expatriation of jobs is a thing. California is great at that. Just go look at the U-Haul rates. But beyond that, you have this interesting point where companies, again, much like an in-house band, may just bring all of their visual effects in-house. And so that will hurt a lot of smaller companies, a lot of startup companies, a lot of people that are a handful of people working in that field may be out of work simply because they don't want to be either tied to a major company or they may just be consolidated out of business because Sony may come in and say, you're our employee, but the only way to work for us is to sign a non-compete clause and now you can't work for Warner Brothers. We don't know how it's all going to play out, but it limits choice. It limits the ability of people to work for who they want to work for. Also, some visual effects houses don't keep people on all the time because they don't have a lot of work all the time. So they may bring on a bunch of people to do one project and then get rid of them. Well, now all those people are employees, which opens them up to a lot of other problems, and it may just not be worth it. There are a lot of factors in this that haven't been considered because, again, this is a horribly written, horribly planned law, and it's going to have a lot of down-channel problems. Another area that people aren't really thinking about is even having a night in. Say you don't want to go out. You don't want to see the house band or the terrible DJ that's always there. You don't want to listen to Muzak at the coffee house. You were hoping to have an open mic night. Even your night in's a problem because, again, seeing those problems we talked about with Uber and Lyft with that destination discrimination option, those same things apply. Those same things apply to DoorDash and Postmates and Instacart. So now you may not be able to get a delivery of food or wine or what have you to have a night into Netflix and chill. And it's one of those areas that hasn't been thought about. In the rush to try to unionize Uber and Lyft and Airbnb and all these corporations, these companies that almost don't make money to begin with, some of them actually run at a loss every year and are being propped up by investors for long-term viability, much like how Amazon started. The legislator, especially Lorena Gonzalez, didn't even care to worry about the nuanced stuff. A lot of the exemptions don't make sense. The idea that a newspaper writer or a freelance writer could write 35 articles, but if they write 36, now they need protection from mommy government. That a station rental hairdresser doesn't need protection, but a station commission hairdresser does need protection. That manicurists need protection, but only in 2 years from now. I mean, there's a lot of things we're going to see play out that are going to be really problematic with this law, and most people haven't really considered it. But if you wanted to ruin date night a little bit more, congratulations, AB5 was a great way to do it. It could make our experience of going out and having an option to see 30 different bands at 30 different venues to maybe only seeing one or two. You may lose a lot of options, and what really honestly is going to happen if you don't see change as your regular person look at the calendar, you're going to see a lot of things go underground. A lot of what formerly was compliance with the law will just cease to be. Ultimately, this will drive a lot of business underground. The businesses that want to comply with the law will have to cut corners or have to just get rid of options. And a lot of businesses will just choose to not comply with the law and just be cash only and risk the wrath of government should they be caught. Because nullification's a thing. It has been since the 1790s, and the government is too stupid to realize that. I think that's all I have for now. So thanks for listening and watching, depending on what platform you're on. Cheers.